seek the Lord. Go after him with your whole heart, and you will begin to see the master plan that God has for your life, and you'll have the power to walk in it.
Are you struggling to find purpose and meaning for your life? Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, join Gloria Copeland as she gives instructions on how to seek the Father's wisdom and walk out God's master plan for your life.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We're talking about being in the will of God. We're talking about going after the things of God, putting Him first place in our lives so we can be blessed. And we're talking about being a masterpiece with a master plan. Let me read this to you again in Ephesians 2 in verse 10, and this is the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. Is that a great scripture or what? He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. We are born again in Christ Jesus so that we can do and walk out the good plans, the good path that He created for us long ago. We are a masterpiece with a master plan. How do you find that plan? We talked about it yesterday. Seek first, this is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and the Amplified says, His way of being and doing right, and all these other things will be added unto us. We seek first the plan of God, and with that plan of God comes the good life. The blessed life, the abundant life, the life without curse, the life without sorrow. You know, the world has riches, but it says in the Bible that there's sorrow with it. But with God, when you begin to walk in the blessing, you've been redeemed from the sorrow, which is the curse, and you walk in the blessing of God. It's God's will for you to walk in the blessing. You say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. Most of my life, and I haven't been blessed yet. Well, how much time are you giving God? How much openness are you? When you read the Bible, do you read it through maybe traditions that you've heard all your life? Or do you say, it says I'm blessed. It says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto me. All I have to do is seek first the kingdom of His righteousness. Now, what would that mean? That means you get in the Bible and you see what it says and then you obey it. That would be seeking first. Just knowing it is not seeking first. And that's what God wants. He wants us to find out the truth of the matter. So what did He do? Well, He had us born again. He filled us with His Spirit to teach us and lead us into what? All the truth, glory to God, so that we know the things, the Bible says, that have been freely given us. Now, once you get the revelation of that, it will not be hard for you to spend time in the Word. You will be looking forward to finding out what else belongs to me, or reviewing what belongs to me. What does the Bible say belongs to me? What can I receive by faith from the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more time you put in on the Word, the more you hear it and receive it and act like it's true, the more faith you'll have, and the more faith you have, the more victory you have, because the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you're not walking in victory, you should be. You can have faith. You can overcome the world and the situation and the devil or whatever it is if you'll get on the Word of God and let that Word live in you, and you'll begin to act on it and like it's true. Act like it's true. Talk like it's true. God will begin to move in your life supernaturally. Now, we've been talking about being the masterpiece, verse Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living says, we are God's masterpiece. Begin to think of yourself as God's masterpiece, something that He can use for His own good any way He wants to. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. So this has been available to us. We can walk in the plan of God. We can walk in the blessing of God. God told Israel, you can walk in the blessing. Just don't do those things over there that bring a curse and do these things over here that bring blessing, and you can be blessed in all you're doing. So they had a choice, and it's the same way with us. Now, I was going to read you some things about, we talked about yesterday, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His way of doing and being right, and all these other things will be added unto you. So seek, the rabbi says, this is the rabbi from Burbank. We had this book put back in print because I like it so well. And you can get it from the ministry, but I love this book. This was a rabbi who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and was born again, and this is his book. So he says here about seek. He says it means, to seek means to research. The Hebrew word D-O-R-E-S-H means to study and to research. As a young child, I learned that once this concept became firmly fixed in my mind, I was then readily able to recognize and obey the scriptural commands that applied to my life. I have since learned that this same principle applies to any sincere student of the Bible. By learning the importance of God's words that are recorded within God's Word, learning the principle of unquestioning obedience, every child of God will be able to live a life of peace, power, and daily victory. That is exactly right. To seek is to study and to research. These principles, research with integrity, equals knowledge and insight. Knowledge and insight plus obedience equals God's rich rewards. These biblical principles, in other words, research with integrity equals knowledge and insight. Knowledge and insight plus obedience equals God's rich reward. When I learn to know what God is saying to me in His Word, I must obey what He says, then He is honor bound to answer the promises in His Word. So once a student's dedicated himself to the twin virtues of research and obedience, he soon learned to recognize God's scriptural commands as he read them. A few of these I have translated literally from the Hebrew. Now remember, he says to seek means research. Here's how he said it. Research Jehovah and His strength and seek His face eternally. Research Jehovah if you are to find Him. Seek, research. Spend time pursuing knowledge of God. Call upon Him, Isaiah 55:6 says. Call upon Him, for He is always near. Seek if you are to find Him, Isaiah 55:6. How wonderful to know He is available, and that when we seek or research, that is the best word. When I read this book, I thought, that is it. That is the best word to describe what it takes to walk in the blessing and power of the Word of God and to be living in Him, available all the time, ready for blessing, ready for obedience. It's the thought of research. I research the Lord every day. You should be researching the Lord every day, because the research you find in the Word of God, in other words, you should be going over this Word every day and hanging on to every line that it says. This is truth. This is what Jesus said would make me free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How do you get to know the truth? You seek it. You spend time in it. You do research in the Word of God. Now listen to these verses that the rabbi gave with, instead of seek, I'm saying research. Those who know thy name will trust thee, for thou hast not forsaken them who research thee. Psalm 91:10. How does one come to know his name? By study, by research. How do you come to know anybody? By spending time with them. That's the way you get to know God, by research. I sought the Lord, or I researched the Lord, and he answered me. This is Psalm 34:4. And he answered me. From all my confusions, he saved me. God wants to save you. If you got confusion in your life, here's you a scripture right here. I researched the Lord, and he answered me. And from all my confusions, he saved me. Psalm 34:4. What a promise. When I sought him through his word, he readily responded to my urgent needs. Those who seek or research Jehovah will never lack the goodness of life. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that agree with what Jesus said? Those who seek Jehovah will never lack the goodness of life. That's 34:10, Psalm 34:10. When the meek saw, they became glad, and those who will seek Jehovah, their dead hearts will be made alive. If you feel like your heart's dead, you don't have anything to live for, there's nothing going for you, begin to research the Lord, and your heart will be made alive. Just make Jesus the Lord of your life. Get into the Word of God. Begin to feed on it. It is the answer to your situation. You say, but you don't even know what my situation is. The Word of God is the answer to any situation. It's the answer to any curse. It's the answer to any problem. You'll find help in the Word of God. You'll find the master plan. You'll find the master's word. You'll find what he says to do about different things. Seek him. God expects us to seek him with all of our powers. We seek the Lord, and he is found. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Seek. Go after. Spend time in the Word. Research. Research the Lord every day. Get you a Bible. Begin to research the Lord. And feed yourself on God's Word. And get in meetings like the conventions, and get in, go find a good church where they teach you the Word of God. Find a church where they says God, where they tell you God, the truth about God. God is good. He's got a plan for your life. He loves you. He wants you. He'll save you and fill you with himself. He'll protect you in the secret place of the Most High. Find out what the Bible says. Get you a Bible and begin to find out what the Scripture says to you. Seek the Lord. Go after him with your whole heart. And you will begin to see the master plan that God has for your life. And you'll have the power to walk in it. I'm telling you, God's plan is so far. God's plan, I wouldn't even want to tell you what I planned to do with my life. It was so insignificant. I thought it was a great idea. You know, I was just young, never had been anywhere, done anything. But it wasn't. It would have been such a drudgery after a year or two. And now I get to live in peace. I get to live in excitement. I get to, you know, if I wanted to travel, this was the best place for me to be. I have traveled more than I want to travel now after all these years. But God is so good, and he's so big, and he's got this plan. He's got a plan for you that will make your little Mickey Mouse idea look like something a truck ran over. You want the plan of God. So what do? You seek him first. You spend time in the Word. You get involved where they teach you the Word of God, and you learn more and more. Your knowledge, your learning, your time in the Word of God is of more value in your whole life than anything else. It will make everything else in your life work. It will cause you to live long and to live strong and to be blessed. And what are days on the earth if they're unhappy days and they're unfulfilled days? You don't have to live like that. Just get on the plan of God. You say, well, I've made a mess. Well, lots of us made messes, but God can straighten those things out if we will let Him, if we'll spend time with Him, if we'll listen to Him, if we'll let the Word correct us. Get in the Word of God. Find out that you are a masterpiece with a master plan, and you have words given you. What would be your primary responsibility, if I just had a short time to tell you? To walk in love. We are to keep the commandment of love. That is our commandment. Jesus said, you shall love one another. That is our commandment. So just start, after you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, then set out on the love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. In the Amplified, it says, love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Here's you some things to do. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Glory to God. Now it left me whatever else it was. Let me look it up. 1 Corinthians 13. Normally, on a good day, I can quote it. but just let me give it to you. Love endures long. This is the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. What does that mean? That means you don't ever have to get crosswise with anybody. What if somebody does you wrong? Well, forgive them and go free. Wouldn't that be better than getting all bent out of shape for a week or two and sinning with your mouth and talking unforgiveness and talking badly about somebody because maybe they didn't treat you right? What does that mean? That means you went in bondage. You went in bondage over it when you could have gone free. You could have said, I forgive. Think about the power that you and I have. We have the power to forgive. That's a God thing. It's an honor that God lets us have the power to forgive. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. So we know when somebody around us gets blessed and we get that little twinge of, I should have been there, it should have been me. We know we're out of the will of God. We know we're out of love. Love is patient and kind, and it's never envious nor boils over with jealousy. So love's not jealous. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Love is not prideful. Love is not conceited, verse 5, arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude. Love is not rude. If you're a rude person and you've got a sharp tongue and you backbite and you answer back in a mean way, you're not walking in love. You could go free from that. And I'll tell you another little secret. People don't want to be around you either. And you think, well, they just don't seem to relate to me. Well, I wonder why. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful, and it's not rude. What if somebody's rude to you? What if you're free? You can just forgive them. You can just walk free. You don't have to be rude back. You don't have to be unlovely. You don't even have to let it slow down your day or bring a cloud over your day. You've got the power to forgive. I forgive. I forgive them. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. So if you do that, it says, for it is not self-seeking. If you're self-seeking, if you're hard to get along with, if it has to be your way or the highway, you're not walking in love. It is not. Love is not. Oh, this one gets you. Now, this one, this is hard to deal with right here. If you're married, or if you live with anybody at all, if you live with a friend or a child or whatever, you got to work on this. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Think of the peace that you could have in your life if you just weren't touchy, if you just didn't fret over somebody doing you wrong. If you didn't spend time being resentful because somebody said something ugly to you, or they forgot your birthday, or you heard they talk badly about you, or they called you so-and-so, you don't have to be touchy, fretful, or resentful. You can say, I forgive. You know, that's powerful. You're in a powerful position when you can forgive. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love, what does that mean? That means love forgives and forgets. And guess what else love does? It goes free. If you pay attention to a suffered wrong, it ruins your day every day. It just makes life not worth living, because now you can't enjoy the sunshine, you can't enjoy the day, because now your feelings are hurt and you're sad and you think nobody loves you, and all the trash that goes with taking account to evil done to you is bad. But we've got the power of love. We can forgive. We don't have to take any account of the evil done to us. Lord, I bless them. I take no account of that. I don't think I did that. I don't think I was that way. But if I was, I ask you to forgive me. But I know one thing. I'm not going to take any account of it. I forgive them, Lord. I pray for them. What does the Bible say? Pray for those who use and persecute you. I've had practice at that. It works. Pray for those who use and persecute you. You know what? What happens? You go free. Lord, I pray for that person. I ask you to forgive him for saying those things. Just bless him and help him and cause him to see what he needs to see. And what happens to you? Hey, you can have a good day. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be touchy, fretful, resentful. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Think of that. Love cannot be overcome. Love is overcoming. The love of God that's not touchy, fretful, or resentful, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. The love of God is so powerful that it doesn't have to be sad. It doesn't get run over. It walks in victory. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. If love never fails and you're walking in love, that means you never fail. I'm telling you, we got the upper hand here if we'll just do it God's way. Love, forgive. Do what we're told to do. Take no account of the evil done to it. These things will get us out of the will of God. If we take account, if we get bitter, if we get hard towards somebody instead of walking in love, we're the one that suffers. So if we'll walk in love, we can be free. Love never fails or becomes obsolete. Hallelujah. And then 14:1 says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your great aim, your great quest. Glory to God. Let us make it our aim to always walk in love. And when we do that, we'll always be free and we'll always be in victory. I'll be right back.
Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Be transformed. Gather together with believers from around the world and dive in at these life-changing meetings. Come on down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for children and 1440 services for youth, make sure you bring the whole family. Then it's time to come spend a week at the Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Finally, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for a special time together at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us November 13th to the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org. or call 800-600-7395.
Today's offering day, listen to this. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he made up his own mind and purposed in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon a prompt to do it. Cheerful giver. God is able to make all favor come to you in abundance. How much favor do you want? How much blessing do you want? Well, how much seed do you want to sow cheerfully? Cheerfully is very important in your giving. You know, it ought not have to be pride out of your hand. You just say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And you do that, not just on this offering, but in any offering. And God will make all favor come to you in abundance so that you'll be furnished in every good work and charitable donation. Father, I pray over the offerings today. Lord, I'm asking you to give us a greater revelation of increase and abundance. Give every person listening to my voice a greater revelation of increase and blessing and seeking you and knowing exactly what to do. Prosper them. In Jesus' name, I command the prosperous spirit to come on you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's important in your giving that you do what the Lord tells you to do. And that's all you have to do. Now tonight, Ken is preaching in Basel, Switzerland at the Victory Campaign. In the morning, I'll have Healing School. Healing School in Basel, Switzerland. I've never done that before, but in the morning, I'm doing it. So come, we'll be believing God. We'll be praying for your healing. If you're not there with us, well, pray for us. Today is Jonathan Copeland's birthday. That's John Copeland's little boy that's growing up, Jonathan. Happy birthday, John. We love you and we think you're great. Hallelujah. Join me again next week as we continue on the master plan. Be quick to hear and quick to obey. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Jump in the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. With Super Kid Academy and 1440, there's a place for the whole family. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
What we read in here, this is life. This extends our life. This brings us healing and health and deliverance and wisdom every day. And it helps us to live out the full number of our days.